Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
I was not supposed to be speaking today. We had a special guest speaker. It was supposed to be Stephanie Dawn. And through some circumstances that happened, she canceled. So I was asked to step in and speak. This topic is dinosaurs in the Bible. And for just some back history for me, this is the second sermon that I ever built when I was first learning about the Bible. Let's just go into it. Matthew 7, verse 7, which was just read, is this. Ask and it'll be what?
Given
to you. Seek and you will
find.
For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. This is one of the things I had to memorize as a kid. Right? So if you don't ask, you won't what?
Receive.
You won't receive. If you don't seek, you're not gonna find. So I had questions. I had a lot of questions, and I wanted to find answers to it. Did any of you have questions as a kid? Did any of you have a lot of questions? Did any of you have so many questions that you annoyed the adults around you? And they finally said, stop, like, you can only ask 3 questions a day or something. So I'm going to start with a few questions, and we're going to try to answer them as we go through this. All right? The first one is, did dinosaurs really exist? These are rhetorical. You don't need to... Did God create the dinosaurs? Could dinosaurs have lived at the same time as humans? How did the dinosaurs die? And does the Bible say anything about dinosaurs? So I'm going to break this down. First, do dinosaurs in creation, does that work? By the way, if I show this, it's a sign that I'm talking about something evolution is saying. If I show this sign, it's a sign that this is what the Bible is saying. Because I'm going to be sharing things from both, and if you just take a picture, it may not fully match. So according to evolution, dinosaurs roamed the earth 243 to 231 million years ago. That's evolution, not the Bible. So the conclusion for this is that the earth must be even older than that. Right? I heard a rumor when I was a kid, and the rumor was this. Is the rumor true? Not necessarily. The rumor was that Satan created the dinosaurs and God killed them all before he placed man on this earth. So my teacher said, always check your sources. Always. I was in college. I don't know if anybody remembers calculus. Does anybody remember calculus?
I didn't have to take it.
Okay, so my calculus teacher, he said, I want you to do a math project. I want you to apply math to real life. Some people go to high school and they're like, I don't need math. What do I need algebra for? What do I need? Have you heard this thing? They wonder, what do I need math for? So he said, we're going to do a topic and it's going to be circular reasoning. Because we were doing proofs in math, if you remember what proofs are. So the first thing I did is I did what any good student did. I Googled it.
Yeah.
That's probably not what we're supposed to do, but that's what I did. I Googled circular reasoning. And the very first website... this is what circular reasoning is, if you don't know what it is. So Sally never tells what?
Lies.
And we know that's true because Sally told us so. And we know this because Sally never tells lies. Do you see how it goes around? So the first site I found on Google was a site about creation and evolution. And I'm like, what? Really? And so it said evolution has a problem. And they said this, fossils are dated by the age of the rocks they are found in. So let's say you're digging in the ground and you see like the different strata, right? You find a skeleton, right? You know how old it is by the age of the rocks that are in it. Make sense? They also said rocks are dated by the age of the fossils that are found with them. So how do you know how old the rocks are? By the age of the fossils. How do you know how old the fossils are? By the age of the rocks. And so they said, this is circular reasoning. So they said this. This is the website. Evolutionary theory is a myth. God created everything. The evidence clearly points to it. This is science versus evolution. And so my teacher said, don't believe everything you see online. Always what? Check your sources. How many of you use ChatGPT? No, don't raise your hand. How many of Just because the internet produces something, just because you searched up something, doesn't mean it's true. Always check your sources. So I looked at Wikipedia back. Well, I used Microsoft. Does anybody remember Microsoft Encarta? Does anybody remember opening an encyclopedia and looking things up? A lot of you do. Okay, so today most people look at Wikipedia. I did this a few years ago. So this is geology. What is geology? Specifically, stratigraphy, the study of rock layers. In the lab, biostratigraphers analyze rock samples from the outcrop and they drill cores for the fossils found in them. The fossils help scientists date the core to understand the rock in which it was formed. So this is geology saying we know how old the rocks are by the age of the fossils that are found with them. All right? So we know how old the fossils are by the age of the rocks. Absolute dating. This is still geology. At the beginning of the 20th century, geologic science was able to obtain accurate absolute dates to geological events using radioactive isotopes and other methods. And this changed their understanding of geological time. Previously, they only used fossils and stratigraphic correlation to date the sections of rock related to one another. What does that mean? People talk about carbon dating, right? They talk about different ways to date, but that happened at the beginning of what century? The 20th century. Previously, before all these advanced dating techniques happened, they used the fossils and where it was in the layers to date how old the rocks were. So that's how they established the timeline. So let's look at the other side of things. Paleontology. That's the study of fossils, right? Body fossils and trace fossils are the main type of evidence about ancient life. And estimating these dates remains difficult, it says. Sometimes rock layers would allow radiometric dating, which provide dates that are accurate to within 0.5%. But more often, paleontologists use relative dating to solve the jigsaw puzzles of biostratigraphy. What's relative dating? They look at the age of the rock layers to know how old the fossils are. So this is the encyclopedia, this is Wikipedia, and I saw it in Encarta, I saw it in other ones. You look up geology and it says, we know the rocks by the age of the fossils. You look up paleontology, we look up the fossils by the age of the rocks. So in my head, this matched. This is circular reasoning. Fossils are dated by the age of the rocks. Rocks are dated by the age of the fossils. I checked my sources. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast what is good. So if dinosaurs existed, right? If God was all powerful, couldn't he have created the dinosaurs?
Absolutely.
So let's look at the origins. According to evolution, dinosaurs evolved over millions of years. One kind of animal slowly changed into another through speciation, adaptation, or survival of the fittest. So I'm going to give a pop quiz, all right? And I want you to call out the answers to me. Can you identify these fossils? What is this?
A T-Rex.
A T-Rex. Okay. What is this? A Stegosaurus. What is this? A Brontosaurus or a Brachiosaurus, right? What is this?
Stegosaurus.
It's a Triceratops. Why? Because it has three, remember the three horns? Triceratops. All right, how many people identified all the fossils? I see a few. All right, which ones are half dinosaur?
All of them.
Which ones are 75% dinosaur? Which ones are 99% dinosaur and 1% something else? They're all 100% dinosaur. What does it say in Genesis? And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, livestock, creeping thing, and beasts of the earth according to its kind. And it was what? And it was so. So there's a category, it says beasts of the earth. According to their kinds. If God designed and created the dinosaurs, if he did, they would have been fully functional. They would have been designed to do what they have been created for. And they would be 100% dinosaur. This fits exactly with the fossil record. We don't see fossils that are partial dinosaurs. We see full dinosaurs, and you look at them and we know what they are. So, but here's a question. Based on the Bible, how long ago did dinosaurs live? So let's look at the timeline. If you add up all the dates in the Bible, we conclude that the creation of the earth and the animals, including the dinosaurs, occurred only thousands of years ago and not millions of years, like evolution says. How does that fit? By the way, somebody asked me this question. Adam and Eve, they're like, the earth is so old, right? But it says the Bible says the earth is only thousands of years old. How does that make sense? Adam and Eve, were they created as babies? But when they were first created, they were like, I don't know, a day old. But they're adult humans, right? So God created adults already. You know, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the earth existed for, we don't know how long before God created humans. So just because the Bible says it was this many years, the Bible also talks that the earth was around even before humans were created. Amen? So, evolutionists say that no man, no humans ever lived alongside the dinosaurs. So, how does this fit? Let's go to Genesis 1 verse 30. I mean, to all the beasts of the earth, to all the birds of the sky, and to all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every what? Green plant for food. And it was so. That means what? That all the animals were created as what?
Vegetarian.
So they didn't eat each other. Okay, life in Eden was perfect. Adam and Eve and the animals, including the dinosaurs, lived in harmony, eating only what?
Plants.
Eating only plants. But how long did that last? Well, in Romans 5 verse 12, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all, because all sinned. So the first humans disobeyed the commands of God and death entered the world. And so, just a conclusion, there could not have been animal fossils or dinosaur bones before sin.
Right.
Everybody follow me so far?
Because
there was no death before sin. So what happened to the dinosaurs? How did they die? You know, wouldn't they have killed God's creations because they're so big? Maybe they died in the flood because there's no way they could fit into the ark. Right? Let's look at Noah's Ark. So how big was Noah's Ark? If you go to the Bible, in Genesis 6, it describes what it is. So one cubit is 18 inches long. It's from the elbow to the tip of your middle finger. This is the size of an average American man today. The cubit back then would have been a lot bigger, but I'm only going to be using the American standard to show you how big the ark was. It would have been bigger back then. The ark would have been 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Have any of you ever been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky?
No.
I see Kenny. Nobody else has? So, 45 feet high, right? How tall is this sanctuary? Anybody know? Every floor is about 10 feet. 45 feet high is 4.5 stories high. 75 feet wide and 450 feet long. Let me show this to you. Have you ever been in a 747? A 747 plane is 231 feet. And the Titanic was 882 feet long. So was the ark big or small? Big, medium, small. Okay. This is an example of what it could have looked like on the inside. That's just an artist's rendition. We have no idea. This is the size of the ark. And this is based on the cubit. And it's the size, you compare it to the size of a whale. Are whales big?
Yes.
You could put 9 whales side by side inside the ark. All right. Sorry, I'm going to give you some math this morning. Do you remember ratios? That's length to width ratio of 6 to 1, 300 cubits by 50 cubits, provided excellent stability on the high seas. In fact, modern shipbuilders say it would have been almost impossible to turn over. When God designed the ark, he knew that a storm was coming. And when he asked Noah to build it, he made it so it would have been almost impossible to tip over. Based on these facts, the ark would have been able to ride out the enormous storms in the year of the flood. So let's go into a bit more math, sorry. How much floor space did it have? It had 100,000 square feet, more than 20 standard-sized basketball courts. How much volume did it have? It had 1,518,000 cubic feet, about the same size as 569 modern railroad stock cars. Have you ever counted the trains as they go by? Have you like lost count at 100? Can you imagine counting 569 trains, train cars go by? Is that a lot of trains? So here's the question. How many land-dwelling, air-breathing animals need to be taken on board to survive the flood? So let's ask this question first. Are there animals that don't need to be on the ark? Yeah? What do fish need to be on the ark? No. You don't need to bring the fish on the ark. They're in the water. What about these? What are these? Starfish. Does Noah need to take two starfish?
No.
Nope. What about these?
No.
Okay. Did he need to take these? Nope. They were fine. What about these? Jellyfish? Okay. What are these? Anybody know?
Those are plankton.
Hey, God. I was going to say it starts with a P and ends with a plankton. Did he need to take plankton on the ark? No, he did not. Plankton, just, you know, they float on the surface of the water, right? Did he need to take whales on the ark? No, he didn't. Okay, what about these? No? Maybe? What about alligators? I mean, they can swim, right? And we have these things, right? The bottom, the crustaceans. Do these need to be on the ark? They don't, right? All the insects, by the way, could easily have fit into the ark, right? Two flies? They don't take up a lot of space. So what about the dinosaurs? Maybe they were too big to fit, right? Or maybe there was just too many of them. Well, let's talk about dinosaurs for a second. Consider there are not very many different kinds of dinosaurs. There are hundreds of dinosaur names, but many of these are given to just a bit of bone or skeletons of the same dinosaur found in other countries. Different sizes, varieties, and genders of the same kind may have ended up with different names. So, let me ask you, what are these? What are these?
Dogs.
Have any of you ever seen dogs getting bred together? Have you ever mixed different dogs? Right? Do you have a dog that's a mix of two different things? What are these?
Birds.
By the way, did Noah need to bring two Dachshunds and two Rottweilers and two Collies and two Poodles? He needed to only bring what?
Two
dogs. So out of all the dogs in the world, all the different kinds, he only needed to bring two. Right? These are, anybody know what kind of birds these are? They're finches. These are Darwin's finches from the Galapagos Islands. How many kinds of finches did Noah need to bring? Two, right? And actually, maybe only two birds. This is a guy named Charles Darwin. And he talked about how different birds, these finches evolve with different beaks. The smaller ones can handle small seeds, the larger ones, large seeds. And so we have this thing called the scientific method. And this is something that we follow. And we as Christians can follow it too. The scientific method says that things have to be observable, testable, and repeatable. Okay? So I'm going to break this down into two parts. The first one is microevolution. Microevolution is observable, testable, and repeatable. For instance, dogs. So if you take a dog of one type and you mix it with another dog and you make them have kids together, right? Make them have babies together, the babies are going to be a mix of both different dogs, right? That's observable, it's testable, and it's repeatable. What is not observable is you breed dogs for millions of years and they produce a cat that can't breed back with the dog. That is not observable, that's not testable, that's not repeatable. Microevolution, breeding dogs, watching the finches change, that is something that we believe in. That is something that we as Christians can believe in. But macroevolution, that one kind of animal slowly becomes another kind of animal and it can't reproduce back with the original, we do not believe that. Amen?
That's never happened.
So, oh, here's, that's me putting pictures. So this is a chart that they said. They say that all these animals came from one main one. So you see a rhino and a gorilla and an elephant. They all came from the same one. That is not observable. It's not testable. It's not repeatable. We can see the micro ones within the species, but we cannot see the macro ones outside of the species. So what are these? It starts with a zebra and ends with a donkey. It's called a Z-donk. Have any of you heard of a Z-donk before? This is not Photoshop. This is not AI. They mixed a donkey and a zebra, and this is what happened.
That's ridiculous.
This is a creature of God. Because it happens, right? This is a what? It's a liger. It's a mix of a lion and a
tiger.
This is observable, repeatable, testable. This is the creature that God made. This is not Photoshop. So these are large carnivorous dinosaurs, and you see Allosaurus, Ceratosaurus, Megalosaurus. They're probably the same type, right? It's not like they're different species. This is Pentaceratops, Anchiceratops, our Rhinoceratops, and Torosaurus, right? But they all look like Triceratopses. Okay? These are armored dinosaurs, like Ankylosaurs, but they're all named different things. These are long-necked dinosaurs, right? Diplodocus, Brachiosaurus, Brontosaurus. In reality, there may have been fewer than 50 kinds of dinosaurs. What are these? Dinosaur eggs. Have you ever seen dinosaur eggs? Dinosaur egg, if you were to hold one, is about the same size as an American football. Have any of you ever played football? Have you held a football? That's about the same size as the dinosaur egg. So imagine if you're holding a dino egg and like it hatches, you have like a little baby dinosaur. Anyways, so the Bible says God sent two of every animal, seven of some land animal into the ark, and there were no exceptions. So according to the Bible, dinosaurs must have been on the ark. Okay? Although there was more than enough room for the large animals, maybe God sent young adults into the ark to grow later. Does God need to send the largest, tallest, biggest specimens? Could he have sent like teenager type animals into the ark to grow later? Totally could have fit, right? So back to the same question. How many animals need to be brought on board the ark? Well, these guys, Dr. Whitcomb and Morris, they calculated that no more than 35,000 animals need to go on board the ark. Dr. John Wedmerappi, he used a study and he said as few as 2,000 individual animals may need to be on board the ark. These guys, this is from The World That Perished, they said, let's be generous and add on a reasonable number to include extinct animals. And let's add on even more to satisfy the most skeptical. Let's assume 50,000 animals, far more animals than required, were on board the ark. And these don't need to be the largest or even adult specimens. This is from Stanley and Paul Taylor from the movie adaptation of The World That Perished. So let's make some calculations. Sorry, back to math. So remember, there are only a few very large animals, like the dinosaur or the elephant, like the dinosaur, or like the elephant, and these could be represented by what?
Babies.
By babies, by younger versions of them, right? So let's do some calculations. The average double-deck stock car can accommodate 240 sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep? Have you ever petted a sheep? You can fit 240 of them in a stock car. So I'm just using this as the average size, right? So like a lion's a little bit bigger, a bear's a little bit bigger, but dog is smaller, cats are smaller. You know what I mean? Just use this as an average. So 50,000 animals divided by 240 animals per car, you end up filling 208 and a third cars. So the ark capacity was what? 569. We know how much volume it had, right? So 203 cars divided by 569 is 37% of the ark. That means that 50,000 animals, the largest number that we picked, and we picked a small dimension for the ark, would fill up 37% of it. That means that there would be 361 double-deck railroad stock cars left to carry all the food, plus Noah's family of how many?
Eight.
Was there enough space for more people? You know, this is a sad thought. You know, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many what?
Mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine? God prepared the ark. He told Noah, build this, but only eight people show up. There was a lot of empty space. I wonder, is there going to be a lot of empty mansions in heaven if we don't share the gospel to other people? God made sure there was space. So just some more questions. How did they build such a big ark? How are they gathered? What about the care and feeding of the animals? I'm not covering that in this talk. That's another talk for another day. What happened to all the land animals that did not go on the ark? In Genesis 7, verse 11 and 12, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that great day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened. And the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. I talked about this in the context of tithing a few weeks ago. But this is what happened. It rained. It rained so much that the world was covered. Many animals would have been covered with tons of mud as the rampaging water covered the land. Because of this quick burial, many would have been preserved as fossils. That fits with the fossil. If the flood happened, you would expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers formed in mud all over the earth. And we see this. This is exactly what we find. So let's go to the death of the dinosaurs. Am I going too fast or are we okay? All right. Let's go to some theories. According to evolution, according to macroevolution, they say dinosaurs starved to death. How? They say there was this comet that fell from the sky. It hit the earth. It made a big cloud of what? Dust. And it blocked the sun. And if it blocked the sun, the plants that are supposed to grow, they died, right? The plant-eating dinosaurs, the vegetarians, they had nothing else to eat. And so they died. And then the meat-eating dinosaurs, the plant-eating dinosaurs, they died. And that's how the dinosaurs got wiped out. So they say dinosaurs must have starved to death. Or they say they died from overeating. They were worried their food supply was going, so they ate so much that they died. Others say, you know what? The comet actually poisoned the dinosaurs, and that's why they died. They got poisoned. Others say, no, the dust made them blind, and they could not find each other to reproduce.
Oh, goodness.
This is from the literature. Others say the mammals started going crazy and started eating their eggs, and the dinosaurs could not reproduce. Other causes include volcanic dust, poisonous gases, comets, sunspots, meteorites, mass suicide like lemmings, constipation. How do you get constipation when you don't have enough F-I-B-E-R? What's it called?
Fiber.
Fiber, right? Because the plants died, so the animals have no fiber. What happens? Right? Parasites, shrinking brains, slipped discs, changes in the composition of the air. This is compiled from macroevolutionist literature. It's going through like source after source and saying, well, why did they die? Because of this. Because of this. Why? And just breaking down. There's so many different answers. At the time of the flood, many of the sea creatures died, but some of them survived. All of the land creatures outside the ark died, but animals of all kinds that survived in the ark lived in the new world after the flood. These land animals, including the dinosaurs, found the new world to be very different from the one before the flood. Due to competition for food that was no longer in abundance, other catastrophes, man started killing for food. Remember, man started eating animals after the flood, right? Man started killing for food and maybe for fun. Have you ever seen kids try to kill an animal for fun? Don't answer that. And the destruction of habitats, many species of animals died out. It's very possible the dinosaurs died out too. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, humanity causes quite a number of animals to become extinct each year. We would expect, extinction seems to be the rule in Earth history and not the formation of new types of animals, as you would expect from macroevolution.
Yeah.
We are killing more animals every year than animals could be possibly getting evolved. You know what I mean? So, if dinosaurs were created by God, if dinosaurs were on the flood, I mean, were in the ark, if they survived in the new world, does the Bible talk about dinosaurs?
Yes.
Let's go to Job. Job chapter 40, verse 15. Look now at the what? At the behemoth which I made along with you. That who made? God said, I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. Now, if you notice, there's a footnote. And the footnote says, large animal, exact identity what?
Unknown.
What is that? So you go through it. You go through Job 40. See now, his strength is in his hips. His power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs are like bars of iron. He is first or chief of the ways of God. So first in the ways of God implies he was a very large animal. And some people say the behemoth, you know, he must be a what? He must be an elephant. Other people say this must be a hippopotamus. Maybe he was a dinosaur? How does it fit? Right? It says in verse 17, he moves his tail like a what?
Cedar.
Like a cedar. What is a cedar?
Tree.
This is one of the cedars of Lebanon. Lebanon is very, very proud of its cedars. Some of this was used to build some of the famous temples in the Bible. Tail's like a tree, right? Sorry, I'm showing you animal butts. This is the butt of an elephant. Is that like a cedar?
No.
This is the butt of a hip. Is that? No? What about this thing? Is it possible that the behemoth was a dinosaur?
Yeah.
So just a history. The Bible was translated to English in 1611. The word dinosaur was invented in 1841.
Okay,
so the word dinosaur appears 230 years after the Bible was translated. Maybe that's why we don't hear about it. Did you know creation scientists believe that dinosaurs were called what? Dragons, before the word dinosaur was invented. So if the Bible talks a little bit about dinosaurs, is there evidence around the world? Well, they have this thing called the what?
Loch Ness
Monster. They say it's a plesiosaur that did not evolve for millions of years. In Africa, there's this thing called the Mlockimbembe, which is also a plesiosaur. It's in Lake Victoria. Somebody said man-eating kangaroos in Australia. And in my head, I was like, what is a man-eating kangaroo? Have you seen a kangaroo? Right? Does the T-Rex look like a man-eating kangaroo?
No.
Yes, no, maybe. This is evidence from around the world. Macroevolution says if this dinosaur survived, it would be because it was isolated for millions and millions of years and it did not evolve at all. That takes a lot of faith. So I'm going to show you some literature from different science journals. The largest dinosaur bone bed ever found, I don't know if it says found, this is 2010. Paleontologists in Alberta have discovered a dinosaur bone bed covering an area of nearly 1.5 square miles. So what a bone bed is, it's about a foot. Sorry, not a foot. 1 meter, 3 feet. Sorry, I'm Canadian. A foot is 3 feet, right? Sorry, not a foot. A meter is 3 feet. It's about 3 feet of compacted bones. And all the bones are like lumped together. And they're like, what happened here that killed all these dinosaurs? Right? It contains thousands of Centrosaur apertus, a species whose closest relative is the Triceratops. Previous discoveries of these animals provided the first evidence that some dinosaurs lived in what? Herds numbering high hundreds to low thousands. That's a lot of dinosaurs,
right?
Excuse me, right? So the size, length of this is 18 to 20 feet. If I'm here, how long is 18 to, from this part here to about here, right? That's 18 to 20 feet. Imagine there's a herd of high hundreds to low thousands. So let's say 900 to 1,100 of them. Is that a lot of those really big dinosaurs? Data from this mega bone bed provides pretty clear evidence that these dinosaurs, these and other dinosaurs, were routinely wiped out by catastrophic tropical storms that what? That flooded what was once a coastal lowland here in Alberta 76 million years ago. So they say they died from a flood? All right. With no high ground to escape to, most of the members of the herd drowned in the rising coastal waters. Now, you have a herd of dinosaurs, right? 18 to 20 feet large. How big of a flood do you need to drown 1,000 of them? That's a lot of dinosaurs. Or that's a kind of a big flood. It's unlikely these animals could tread water, so the scale of the carnage must be breathtaking. When I first started studying this was back in 2004, I was looking at a magazine shop. And usually there's magazines with a lot of different women in various stages of clothing. And in the middle of all these women, there was this thing, dinosaurs. And I'm like, oh, I'm studying on dinosaurs. It's Scientific American. So I bought it. And I was curious, what does the Scientific American community have to say about dinosaurs? And does it match the Bible? And I picked one article from it. I read the whole thing, but I picked this article to share with you. Breathing Life into the T-Rex. So I talked about different names to members of the same species. In 1966, researchers were overjoyed to find another smaller individual resting on top of the T-Rex they originally were looking for. The second fossil was identified at first as a more petite species of Tyrannosaur. My examination of the evidence now suggests the second animal was actually a sub-adult T-Rex. So they found a baby and its mother, and they said, this is two different species. They got credit and they got money for discovering two new species. Now that they researched it, they said, no, one was just a baby. And one was the parent. They gave different names to members of the same species. The lack of herbivore remains among the T-Rexes indicates that the herd, can you imagine a herd of these? Most likely associated with one another naturally and perished together from drought, disease, or what? How tall is a T-Rex? How big of a flood do you need to drown not just one T-Rex, but a herd of T-Rexes? You need a lot of water. When T-Rex was found nearly a century ago, scientists said, you know, that's a predator. Look at its big teeth, right? But sharp claws and powerful jaws do not necessarily a predator make. For instance, most bears are omnivorous and only kill a small proportion of their food. Do bears have teeth like that? Yes, they do. But they're omnivorous. They only kill a small part of their food. Despite the obvious potential for such weapons, the general opinion among paleontologists have been that dinosaur bite marks were what?
Rare.
Were rare. The Bible says if God created the dinosaurs, that the animals did not attack each other until sin. And this still matches what the Bible says.
Yes.
So, just some lessons from the dinosaurs. Death was not part of the original creation. Death came when humans, when the first humans disobeyed God. Number two, God judged the people in Noah's time by destroying the wicked world with water, resulting in the death of millions of creatures. The Bible teaches that he will again judge the world, but next time it's going to be by fire. So, this is Peter writing, and he says, "Dear friend, this is my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand in the last days, people are going to make fun of the word of God. They're going to hear about the second coming. They're not going to believe it. They're going to be scoffers that will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the loss of ungodly men." The Lord isn't being slow about his promise. This is the New Living Translation, as some people think. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anybody to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to what? He wants everyone to repent. I'm going to go back to the original questions. And did the dinosaurs really exist? Yes. It's possible, right? Did God create the dinosaurs? It is possible. Could the dinosaurs have lived at the same time as humans? Yes. Again, it's also possible. They could have been vegetarian. How did the dinosaurs die? A lot of them may have died in the flood. It is possible some of them survived afterwards. And we've talked a little bit about what the Bible says about dinosaurs. The question is really, what do you believe? And it's not really, do you believe in dinosaurs or not? But really, do you believe in the Word of God or not? My goal of sharing this was not to convince you that, hey, you must believe everything I just said. It's to show you that if you consider this idea, it does match the Bible. You don't have to actually believe it, but it does really match it. The Bible says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. I was 19 years old when I started asking questions about the Bible. And people weren't answering me, so I had to research on my own. Some of you ask a lot of questions. Some of you don't. But I would encourage you, keep asking. Keep searching. Because everyone who asks, what? Receives. And he who seeks, finds. I'm going to tell you a story that I'm going to close. I was in college. I was in a class that was really, really boring. I didn't like the accent of my teacher, and everybody was falling asleep or they were making fun of his accent. And I'm like, I'm not focusing. You know what? I decide I'm not going to focus on the lecture. Don't follow me. I'm not going to focus on the lecture. I open my bag and I take out my Bible. I open it and I'm about to start doing my like devotional in class. And my friend next to me is like, what is that? I'm like, it's a Bible? And he's like, you believe that stuff? That's all made up. And I'm like, what? No, I think it's true. And he's like, yeah, well, you know what? I'll challenge you. He said, I will believe in God if you can prove one of these things. If you can prove to me that creation is right over evolution, I'll believe in God. If you can prove to me that the flood really happened, I'll believe in God. If you can prove to me that the Bible talks about dinosaurs, I will believe in God. And if you can prove to me that Jesus was real, just pick one. Any one of them, I will believe in God. And we're in class and I'm like, well, you're not really paying attention to the teacher. He's like, nope, I'm listening to you. And I'm like, okay, let's say a quick prayer and let's go into this. And we prayed, and we went through dinosaurs in the Bible in the class. Again, do not do what I did. But by the end of it, he was like, that's some of the best answers I've ever heard. And I said, do you believe in God now? And he's like, nope, you got to show me the other three. And I'm like, oh, okay. Anyways, then the class ended. But have you been able, have you had to defend what you believe in? When someone comes up to you and says, well, prove to me that Saturday is the Sabbath. Prove to me that Jesus is coming back soon. Prove to me this. Prove to me that about the Sunday law. Right? Prove to me that healthy eating is the best way. Do you know what to say? It's important that we research and we study. Study to show yourself approved. Right? Rightly dividing the word of God. There is proper science, right? But proper science matches the Bible. Have you heard the spirit of prophecy say that? Somebody put this. This is not the Bible quote, but it says, we grow old when we lose our curiosity. Some of us stop being curious. We're just used to doing the same thing day after day after day. But if you're curious, if you're asking questions, you're still going to appear young, right? Have you ever stopped asking questions? These kids are examining the world. They're looking at rocks. They're looking at... Some of us are so busy looking at our what? We don't see the sky. We don't see the world. We don't look at the insects because we're so busy on our phones. Some of us need to put this away and look at what God has created. I would pray for something to spark your interest. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. My challenge for you today is curiosity. If you have questions about God or about the Bible, ask someone. Ask a teacher. Ask a pastor. I did this at an elementary school, so I have this there. Write down your answers. Some people ask, but they don't write it down, so they forget what to say. Write it down. Take a picture. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Just because your teacher tells you something, just because your pastor tells you something, don't believe it right away. Be like the Bereans that search the scriptures daily to know whether it was so. Amen? And if you're even more curious, compare it to the spirit of prophecy. See what she says. I was going to stop here. This is part of a series. I did it last year at Lent. It was called The Creator and the Counterfeit. This is just me pinch hitting for today. But I am going to ask you, how many of you want to ask God for curiosity about what he's done? Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear Lord and our loving Father, one of the verses in the Bible say that unless we become like little children, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. And one thing little children have is curiosity about everything. They love to ask questions. They love to ask why. We want to ask, dear Lord, that you would help us to still be curious about you and about your word. We want to be curious about the things that you talk about and the creation you made. We know that this world is coming to a close soon. We look at the American politics with the Ukrainian things going on. We look at what's happening in America. We look at what's happening overseas. And some of us are worried about the future. But because we're worried about the future, we forget about the current. We forget about the present. Give us a curiosity for the things you've created. Give us a curiosity about the Bible, about how to be healthier, about just curious about everything. And just watch over us as we grow spiritually. We ask, dear Lord, for your blessing on us today, for your guidance and for your direction in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.